Those that are going to ask for the 1970 convention to please come up on the platform. Bring your materials with you. Get this session started, please. For about the past 3 or 4 years now, due to two reasons. First of all, the size to which our Georgia Convention has grown, causing facilities to be limited. Secondly, due to the shortage of hotels and facilities for these conventions, we have found it necessary to ask for requests for our convention and to award our convention 2 years in advance. We announced it in January for those that were interested in the 1970 convention, which will be held the third weekend in October 1970, to present their credentials today. This time, the only one I see up here is Gene from Augusta, so I'll ask Gene to make his presentation for the 1970 Georgia Convention.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
My name is Gene Price, an alcoholic, member of the Hill Group of the 12th Area District of the state of Georgia. I got some very good letters from the officials in Richmond County and Augusta, Georgia, telling us how they enjoyed us being there in 1964 and 1966 at the Augusta Town House, which is convention headquarters for any convention of any size that comes to Augusta. Today, the state, the convention manager of the hotel is in this city for the Knights of Columbus convention out at the Sheraton Motel. I talked to him a few minutes ago, and he asked me, did I feel like we wouldn't be able to bring the convention to Augusta, and I told him I had no idea what I could tell him. And he said that he might come down after a while, but to me to read a letter from him to you as to what you could expect out of the convention in Augusta for 1970. We would like some other cities in this great state to be able to function and put on this convention, but as Virgil has told you, it is getting kind of limited because we are getting too big. Maybe we should have two conventions and as well as two delegates in the near future. But from the Augusta Town House come a letter to me, addressed to me as a 12th District Committeeman. Dear Mr. Price, Town House is most interested in having a great Georgia State Alcoholics Anonymous consider Augusta and the Town House as his October 1970 convention site. We would like to propose our outstanding facilities and services for your group. You will see spacious and modern air-conditioned rooms all equipped with radio, television, and private baths. The 12 ideal meeting rooms will accommodate groups from 10 to 1,500 persons and can be arranged in a variety of setups to suit your individual needs. Public space at the Town House is considered the best in the Southeast. Along with ideal rooms and public space, you will have a professional staff to serve your every need and ensure a most successful meeting. Located in downtown Augusta, the Town House is easily reached by all means of transportation. There is a direct service to and from the airport. There are three major airlines with schedules that make it convenient to travel to Augusta and any destination. You may be assured of receiving ever assistance from the city and the Town House, such as we are one of the finest gatherings ever. Should you need further information or assistance, please do not hesitate to contact us sincerely Ferris Dorr, Vice President of Sales of the Augusta Townhouse. We have other letters here that I will not read. I will tell you who they are from. I don't want to take up too much of your time. We will have this VIP, which is a very important person, guest sticker to go on your bumper that tells policemen to do not bother you while you are parking at this convention.
Parking.
I think we only had one ticket last year on a fellow for over parking, and he was supposed to be a resident of Augusta, and he's here today, and we took care of that, too. Things that will be given to us through this great Chamber of Commerce of the Great of Augusta. We have a letter from Mr. Charles B. Presley, President of the Chamber of Commerce, who is also Vice President of Georgia Railroad Bank and Trust Company in Augusta, asking us to come, and all facilities will be given to us there in Augusta. We have a letter from the Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourist Division from Mr. Charles Bender, who says in here, attached to the Augusta Convention folder, in which we are inviting your fine association to hold its 1970 convention here in Augusta. This invitation has been prepared for you at this time, so you will know from the enclosed letters of the great interest of Augusta civic and business leaders in having your prestigious organization meet in our city. It is our understanding that the site for this convention will be made next month. We are hopeful that Augusta will be favorably considered. Yours truly, Charles E. Bender. There's some more in there, but I won't read it. We have one from the Road Commissioners, President of the Road Commissioners of Richmond County, inviting us to Augusta. And we have two or three other letters here from prominent people. We have one from the Mayor of Augusta, inviting us to Augusta. They undoubtedly must have enjoyed us in 64 and 66. Therefore, we have been informed by the manager of the Augusta Townhouse that some conventions that room rates are raised, but this will not happen for the Alcoholics Anonymous. We will have free parking in the hotel parking garage and every facility that we expect from any other organization or company will be given to us there. You that were there in 1964 and 66 know what to expect. We don't have anything to expect further than what we got before, except that he said he will block out every meeting room that they have that we may have use it. In other words, all the other rooms except the assembly room is smaller meeting rooms, and they will be for us to use at our disposal to use as we see fit. So I don't know of anything else to tell you now, except if you give us this convention, the 12th area, we expect to put this convention on as we did in 1966, and I presume it was done the same thing in 64. We would like to have a free hand to call our speakers and to call our chairmen and anything else that goes on there. We want the decision to be made by the 12th area, and if you give us this convention, that is the way we expect to put it on. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Are there any other requests for the 1970 convention? It doesn't look like you got much competition, Gene. All in favor of the 1970 Georgia Convention being awarded to Augusta, Georgia, the 12th District, for the third week in October, please raise your hand. Like that, unanimous, Mr. Gene. I would like to say to you now, those of you who might be thinking about it, a year from now, we will be asking for, we won't, somebody else will. The assembly will be asking for a request for the 1971 Georgia Convention. The procedure on that is, and most of us know the reasons why, The convention will not be awarded to any individual, to any group, or to any city. It will be awarded to the district and should be asked for by the district committeeman or his duly appointed or elected person, whoever that might happen to be. But it will not be awarded to an individual, group, or city. It goes to the district. Now, report on our 1969 convention, which will be held in Columbus, Georgia. I give you the chairman of that convention, Vic.
Thank you, Virgil. I am Vic Tipp, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vic.
Congratulations, Gene. You fought a hard battle. You know, one of the first things that the fella told me when I came into AA was that, Vic, be careful what you ask for, you may get it. Well, we got it this year. I don't wish to take very much time here, but to fill you in on a few up-to-date things that have occurred in respect to the 69 convention in Columbus. On the 12th of April, or about mid-April, we mailed out to each of the groups in the state of Georgia a memorandum covering the report of progress of the convention committee. Now, at this point, I would like to bring up something here. I talked to a number of people asking for advice, guidance, and what have you at the beginning of this, and when it put it all together, the thing that came out of it was one thing: be flexible. So, with that in mind, we assure you that this committee is flexible. We're capable of going in all directions, to include straight up on occasion. Now, this report that was rendered as of the mid of April has changed somewhat since that report. Now, any report that is rendered subsequent to this date, you can expect changes on that, too. We've tried to make it general enough, though, so that you can plan your own itinerary. The only thing that hasn't changed, really, when you come down to it, is the dates we're going to have it. Now, I'm not going to go through this past report, but there are three things that I would like to speak on briefly. One is registration. Now, we have put out, both through direct mail and through the State Assembly here on handouts, over 5,000 registration slips. Now, as of to date, we have 85. We'd like to remind you that this is a free registration, and we ask for the registrations to be in on time and preferably by the 1st of September. There are two reasons for that. One, we do have some planning that is based on numbers. And secondly, we have some personalized badges that we would like to have made up and be ready for you when you check in, rather than to have to stand in line and have them made up after you get there. So if you will, please get your registrations in. I'm rather hesitant to bring this up, but Joe covered this very well, and this is a subject of contributions. Now, I'm not going to make a fervent plea for funds. I'm simply going to state what we have received to date, and personally, I am gratified that it is in that amount. As of now, we have $856.21 that has been contributed, and that is not bad, considering the length of time that we are into now. We have estimated that the cost of this convention, exclusive of the banquet, will be $3,300. Now, as I say, I'm not going to make a plea for funds. I'm simply going to make one plain little statement. We can't commit it if we ain't got it. So, with respect to accommodation, We have worked through the Chamber of Commerce and the Hotel Motel Association in Columbus on accommodation for all people who will be attending. They have been very cooperative with us, and rest assured that there is sufficient amount of rooms already blocked out. We have not mailed out the reservation blanks yet. The reason being that we are still, and I think we'll be finally completed by the close of this coming week, on the rates. Now, we took a little extra time for that because it was the purpose of this committee to provide a place for everyone at a price they can afford. And to that end, if there is one who wishes to come to this convention and does not have a place to stay or the price of the room, have him contact us. We will provide a place. So this is why we are negotiating for rates, and they will vary from $4 up. Now, we would like to caution you, we're not running a free motel service, but we recognize that there are some people, and this is the new man. He was like I was. He didn't have the price of the room, transportation, or anything else. And this is what we fully intend to do. If there be such a man, and he wishes to come to this convention, by all means, we'll do all we can to get him there. We placed in there, too, a tentative program, again, for your planning purposes. And this will begin on the 23rd and go through the morning of the 26th. Now, generally speaking, there's been not too much change in the program as such. There's been some manipulation of times that programs start. Now, I would like to say this, that we do not have a large committee as such. There are 8 of us on this committee, and when we have a meeting, there are 8 people present, and there are 8 people working at all times. There are several hundred people who are involved with it that are working with these committees. They have done a marvelous job, and in particular the program committee, Peter Prier and Bo Hyde, have put a considerable amount of work into this program, and we have selected a general theme directed toward the family in this convention. And to that end, I think that we can announce at this time at least the kickoff meeting on Friday night. We will have a family, the Wessel family from Chattanooga, Tennessee, I think it is. Louisville, Kentucky, I'm sorry. Now, this is not to be confused with Al-Anon and Alateen. This family speaks as a family, and on that particular night, this will be an open-to-the-public meeting, widely publicized, and it is our intent there to have a program that is tailored to get to all people, not only those of us who are alcoholics or Al-Anon or Alateen, but those who may be subjected to in the future or may have some question at that time about alcoholism. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vic. There are, to follow through on this convention situation, 4 years ago, approximately 4 years ago, when the Southeastern Convention was voted for Georgia, which was held in Atlanta, all of us know that the Southeastern Convention has no possibility, at least nobody has figured one out yet, to get any funds other than to charge a $5 registration fee to finance that convention, which we don't have in Georgia. We have been in wonderful condition in Georgia for a long time with our free convention plan, with contributions from the groups, up until that Southeastern Convention. Now, realizing the grave situation concerning our voluntary contributions and that $5 registration for the Southeastern, it was brought before this state assembly. Some of you, I'm sure, were here. A good many of you may not have been. That's why I bring this up. It was brought before this assembly and passed by a vote of 89 to 11. That's GSR's voting. That state contribution in Southeastern Conference year. The groups of Georgia will continue to contribute as usual to our convention fund. But rather than send these funds to a convention treasurer, since we didn't have one, they will be forwarded to the assembly treasurer. These funds will be used for the state in whatever manner is desired by officers of the assembly. Now, that was passed 89 to 11. Some, for some reason or another, weren't happy about that. And at a following meeting, a gentleman got up on the floor of this assembly and made a motion that we cease our contribution during the Southeastern Conference year. And as most people do when they find the possibility of not giving any money, why, they voted for it and passed it very disastrously. And fact of the business is, Gene had his 1966 convention in Augusta that year. And a lot of the groups and people confused that motion that was passed and even quit sending contributions to Augusta. And I had to get out a letter to all the groups and the GSRs explaining to them that that didn't take effect until the next year, the year after Augusta. Gene was running short on funds. And then Mr. Barnes down here, Mr. Rubin, excuse me, I didn't mean to break in, put on the convention last year at Jekyll Island, which was a wonderful convention, and I think he did a wonderful job, or somebody did, on handling the finances of that convention, because he just about broke even. He got through it by the skin of his teeth. If he'd have spent a few more dollars for something, he wouldn't have made it. And we know that when you stop, we knew it at the time. The reason I say it was a disastrous decision, we knew at the time that, and you don't just have to be alcoholic. I get sick sometime of hearing people blame things on somebody because they're an alcoholic. Everybody else is the same way. You don't have to be an alcoholic. The creature's a habit. And we were in a habit of sending money to a prepaid convention plan, and then when we stopped it, it's just been one hell of a problem to get it started back again. Vic says he's got $800-something. I got news for Vic. You can't put on a Georgia State convention for $800. If I remember my figures correctly, it's a little bit in excess of $3,000 it takes to put on a Georgia State convention. It's got to be contributed. So, there's the situation. Now I have a man up here on the platform with me. I may be mistaken, but I don't think I am. But I think during his term as delegate of the state of Georgia, he initiated the free prepaid convention plan to Georgia.
Is that right, Clarence?
Oh, did he? He says Lewis did, but long that time. So, Clarence is concerned about it, as much as most of us are, because Georgia, to me, has the most wonderful convention in the country. And that's not just my opinion. That's from the New York General Service office on down. Clarence is concerned about it. And he asked me, through that concern, if he could have a few moments on this program this afternoon to speak on that subject. So I'm going to give this time then to Clarence.
Thank you, Virgil. I'm Clarence Rollins, and I'm an alcoholic. In 1955, I borrowed $50 from the credit union and the company I was working for, and Moss and I went to Savannah, Georgia, to the second Georgia State Convention. Through the grace of God and other credit unions and loan companies and banks, we have been able to attend one ever since. It's payable $5 every payday. By the time I get it paid back, it's time to go to another one. I have been lucky since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have traveled from one end of the coast to the other. And every place I go, everybody talks about the Georgia State Convention and what a wonderful convention we have. I'll never forget the first one I went to, nor will I forget the last one that I went to. And I think that for some reason or another, we have more warmth, fellowship, and love in these Georgia State Conventions than any other state that I have ever attended a convention in, and I've been to some good ones. I've seen more enthusiasm in some of them, where they clap more and holler more. But I've never felt the warmth and love and sincerity and fellowship as I felt in the Georgia State Convention. And about two or three weeks ago, when I went to a meeting and Grady showed me a list of the groups that who have contributed to the Georgia State Prepaid Convention Plan, I felt bad, really. See, here we all have the finest convention in the world, the finest people to attend the convention, and one that has grown from the first one that I went to, which was about 150 people, up to, I think, the last one had 11 or 1,200 people. And we're not making provision to carry it on. And I'm one that don't even like to talk about money. A man came to see me from the church the other day, and I shook his hand and didn't even let him in the front door, because I knew what he wanted. He wanted money. But I feel like that if we're going to continue the prepaid convention plan where we can have a convention free and put on a good one, we're going to have to contribute to it. I've always gone to buy a television or a piece of furniture or a bicycle or an automobile, and the man says, how you want to pay for this? You want to pay so much a month, or you want to wait until end of 30 days and give me a check for it? I never have been lucky enough to say, I'll wait till the end of the month and give you the check for it. I'll say, I'll pay $5 or $6 or $7 or $8 or $10 or $20 a month until it's paid for. And I feel like that this is the way that we can whip this situation that we have. That if each GSR goes back to their group and set up on a regular basis a monthly contribution, whether it be 50 cents, $5, $10, $20, or whatever it is you want that your group can contribute, and send it in on a regular basis each month to Columbus and to the treasurer, then we can continue to put these conventions on. I love conventions. I love the people that are there, and I love the fellowship and the love, the fact that I get to be with people while I'm there. And I want to see it continue. But then on the other hand, if the groups in Georgia don't want it continued, they don't want to put it on this basis, And if the groups don't want to contribute it, then I think we ought to do like our good friend Dave Rozier from Maryville said, let's abolish the damn thing and start all over again. But I don't think we should abolish it. I have never seen Alcoholics Anonymous fail. I'd like to make one other little point and then I'll quit. In my own group, we have been meeting in the same church for 14 years. We have contributed very little towards the facilities for that church. We use their air conditioning. We use their heat. We use their kitchen. A lot of times we stole a lot of their cups and sugar when we didn't have much money. But about a month ago, the church decided they were going to build on to the church so my daughter could get married in it. That was the main reason. And they decided to build on to this church, and I got up and I asked the group on their own initiative if they would like to make a contribution to that church to help them on the building fund in appreciation for the fact that we have used that church for the last 14 years to have meetings in it. And 2 weeks later, we contributed through one check to the preacher $350. Now, if all of the members and the groups in the state of Georgia can't raise $3,000 for the sobriety and for the happiness of we alcoholics and the new alcoholics coming along to carry this pre-trade convention plan on, then I don't think we love our sobriety that much. Thank you.
Thank you, Clarence. Where am I now? Going along pretty good. Oh, I wanted to add now that there are some registration blanks for the Georgia State Convention back on the table, and also some registration blanks for the Southeastern Convention in Chattanooga, August 5th to the 9th. And right quickly to add to what Joe said, Mr. Dennis Manders, who is our treasurer up at the General Service Office in New York, will be present at the Southeastern in Chattanooga to take our reservation for the 1970 International in Miami. Now, come September, this coming September, it is going to be the duty of this state assembly to elect a new state delegate and a new alternate delegate to serve during the years 1970-1971. He'll be elected in September, but he goes in office January the 1st. I urge each of you between now and September to seriously consider the man that will fill this office. We have made wonderful progress in Georgia. I'm real proud of the progress we have made, and it hasn't been made by any one individual. It hasn't been made by any few individuals. It has been done through cooperative effort. We made some wonderful progress. We need to elect someone to the office of delegate that can carry that progress on. A man that can handle the job and the man that can go to the New York Conference in New York and adequately represent us in the conference at New York. Now, for the information of those that are not familiar, we follow the third legacy manual in our election of our delegate
to the letter, with one exception, and I'll explain that, which a lot of states don't, and it's been kicked around and tried to be gotten into the Third Legacy Manual. But to follow the Third Legacy Manual, come September, as your chairman, I will ask the roll call of your area committeemen and your alternate delegate. This roll will be called as per district. These committeemen will answer to that roll call with their name. If they do not care to be placed in nomination, they will follow their name by saying withdraw. If they do not say withdraw, their name will be placed in nomination on the blackboard. Area committeemen are automatically placed in nomination for delegate, along with the alternate delegate. That's where it is important to have qualified area committeemen, because there's the possibility of them moving into delegate or alternate delegate. After placing all the names of the area committeemen on the board that desire to be in nomination for delegate, then according to our Third Legacy Manual, I am to inform you that it is not recommended, but I must ask for nomination from the floor. When I ask for nominations from the floor, if you have someone to nominate, you will nominate that person. That person will need a second, and then he must have a two-thirds hand vote to be placed in nomination. That is your floor nomination. Then the balloting will begin and will be handled in the following matter. I don't know exactly who will be where, but just for instance, I'll handle your blackboard. This will be, first of all, ahead of myself, this will be a secret ballot. Slips will be passed out to the GSRs. The committeemen cannot vote. Committeemen do not have a vote, only the GSRs. Unless, of course, that committeeman is acting as GSR of some group. And I might explain why the committeemen can't vote quickly. If the committeemen were to vote along with the GSRs, 21 groups in the state of Georgia would have two votes each, and the rest of them wouldn't have but one. So the committeemen don't vote. These slips are passed out, and they are placed in a hat and put up here. For instance, your delegate will take these slips out of this hat and call them out. I will mark them on the board by the candidate's name, nominee's name. We will have two or three other members of the assembly sitting up on this platform to check that count. Now, there are four ballots to elect a delegate. The fourth is the final ballot. It is suggested and certainly recommended that the low man on each voting ballot withdraw. Doesn't have to. There's no have-tos in AA, but it is recommended and suggested that he withdraw, the low man. This vote continues on till the fourth ballot, except if a man receives a two-thirds majority before we reach the fourth ballot, due to essence of saving time, this man is automatically elected our delegate. If it's necessary to go to the fourth ballot, the man with the plurality or the man with the most votes is elected delegate. Now, that is our change from the regular recommended third legacy. The third legacy says if a man doesn't have two-thirds majority on the fourth ballot, that the name be placed in a hat, which we voted out and a lot of others voted out. Now, why that? When names are going to go into a hat on the fourth ballot, there's a lot of people stay in the race for delegates that don't have a chance of being elected. Their name goes in a hat. I'm not going to call any names, or I'm not going to call any states. But here just 2 years ago, there was a delegate elected, pulled out of a hat, three men in the delegate's race. I'm trying to remember the figures. The number one man had about 65 votes. The number two man had about 40 votes. And the number three man, I think, had about 15 or 16 votes. His name came out of the hat. He was delegate. We know, and all of us know, that the people wanted that, more people wanted the man with 60 votes than they did the man with 15. That's the procedure. Now, you can be thinking about it. You know who all your committeemen are and who your alternate delegate is. Now, a thing that has been brought to the attention of your delegate and to myself is this. This is a vote we must make and for you to make a decision. At the same time that that method of election, of elimination of the hat, was put into effect, we voted to have an alternate delegate, which we'd never had before. And in that same paragraph, it was voted and passed that your number one man receiving the most votes on those ballots would become the delegate. The man receiving the second number of votes would become the alternate delegate. That's the way we elected our first alternate delegate. Now, whether you think, if you think that's good, then you vote for it. The proposition that has been brought to Joe and I, and which I will present to you, is that rather than have the number two man on the ballot become alternate delegate, is that after the delegate is elected, those men that were in the race for delegate names be put back on the board and an alternate delegate be elected separately. Now, there's your two propositions. Leave it as we have it, with the number two man become an alternate delegate. Or, elect the delegate and then put those men's names back on the board and have a separate election for alternate delegate. So, what? Better repeat it, Jerry's got the microphone. Identify.
I make a motion that we put the names back on the board and have another election for the alternate.
That was Margaret. Margaret C. of the Covington Group. Who seconded that? Jean P. of Hill Group, Augusta, seconded the motion. Do I hear a motion that we leave it like it is?
I'll make that motion for a minute.
I'm going to have to vote on it, see.
I make the motion that we leave it as it is.
Jim Carpenter.
Jim Carpenter.
Do we have a second of that motion? All right, we're back where we started. We have a motion each way, so now I would like to ask a vote.
How about you count the hands over on this side of the aisle, and will you count them on that side of the aisle?
Yeah.
There's
a note you don't believe we get through.
Now, I'm going to ask, now listen to me so you won't be voting for the wrong thing. I'm going to ask first for a show of hands. Please don't vote twice. I'm going to ask for a show of hands for those that want to leave the method of electing the alternate delegate as it is. In other words, the number two man in balloting. Let's see those hands. That want to change it and elect an alternate separately. In other words, put the remaining nominees back on the board and elect it separately. Let's see those hands. Like we're going to leave it like it is. 49 to leave it like it is, and 23 change. So the alternate delegate in September will be the number two man on the ballot. Yes, Gene.
I will tell you why that I seconded this motion, and it is this, that I was informed in the last election that I might be alternate delegate if I wasn't delegate, and I didn't want to be delegate. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in for the whole ballot, all the way through four, thinking that I might have been an alternate delegate.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to be delegate. I don't want to be delegate in this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I voted that way. I would like to serve if it's possible as an alternate delegate because I don't want to be delegate. And that's the reason I voted to second this, but it suits me any way you do it.
Thank you, Gene.
You might explain a little further why I accept the election was suggested because it's important for you, George, that the delegate never flakes out. Nothing is more important.
Of course, you've got pros and cons on the both sides of that argument. Like Gene says, he's satisfied the way it is. You've got pros and cons both ways. You've got arguments and good arguments for both sides of the picture.
Let's see now. I'm getting to where I can't see. All right. 10, 11. Now, we'll talk about money again. Joe talks about it and leaves the dirty work to me. I want the sake of time, unless somebody wants to get up on the floor and make it otherwise, I want to talk about two subjects here, three subjects, and lump them together. First of all, Joe spoke to you about the expenses in New York, the problem that the New York office has had in paying the bills up there, and the rates in which the hotels have gone up, the transportation and everything else. So the New York office wants us to vote for $150 a year to be sent to them to be put in a pool to prorate the expenses of the delegate costs which they furnish in New York. It has been suggested we have at the present time an allowance of $250 for our delegates to go to New York. I personally know, and Joe knows, that at the present time, at the present prices, that is an impossibility. At one time, I think if I remember my expenses, my first trip to New York, I broke about even. My second trip, I lost money. And I know that Joe has on his two trips. In addition to that...
$100.
It cost
them $100
anyway. Yeah, that's
right.
That's right. We're already giving them $100, so it's a difference of 50. From 100 to 150. So it is suggested that we are allowing, at the present time, as I said, $250 for our delegate to go to New York, which can't make it. In addition to those prices going up in New York, we have since added a Southeastern Region Delegates and Ex-Delegates meeting in Atlanta, which our delegates attend, which is in addition to that Southeastern Conference in Atlanta. So it is suggested that we raise our delegates' allowance from $250 to $350 a year, effective January the 1st when the new delegate goes in. And our girl Friday Lillian over here has been existing over the period of time on a $75 U.S. government savings bond, which cost us in the neighborhood of about, what, $52.50, I think it is. I don't know how she does it. And she has been, as our work has been picked up, she has been having to hire help on occasions, and she has been having to pay this help out of her pocket. It is suggested that we raise Lillian $50. She has agreed up to this point. I still don't know how she can make it. If she has to have extra help, that she'll pay them out of that. All right. Now let me sum it all up. It is that we increase our New York situation from $100 to $150. That Lillian be given an additional $50, and that the delegate be raised from $250 to $350. Now,
First of all, I would like to hear if there are any objections to those things being voted on at one time for sake of time. If there is, we'll separate. G. Walker?
Not any objection here. I would like to add to it, if Lillian has any additional help, that we vote to pay that at the next, the following assembly, if she has to hire any help during that time, for her to turn in her bill out of the treasury assembly to pay her. I would like that to be added, to repay her for anything that she has to pay out for extra help.
You're making that as a motion.
As a motion to go in with this item.
I second that motion.
Will you identify?
Cliff Nam. Mm-hmm.
I second the motion.
Cliff Nam's identified. Did you all hear that motion that Walter made? All right, I'm still asking for a motion that we vote on this all at one time or separately.
I'm Bob Ross. I'd like to move that we lump it into one vote, including the addition of the coverage of Lillian's extra expenses.
Now, here's a second for that.
John Lindsay, I second that motion.
That is, motion has been made and seconded. Any opposed? Are those in favor of... All those in favor of voting on this motion as presented, please raise your hand. That's unanimous. You got that. I like to say this. I didn't want to say it before that motion was made, and I'm not saying it. I see two more delegates sitting out there, Neely and Clarence.
Make it retroactive.
And I have been delegate. I have been delegate, and Joe has been delegate. I know that I can, and I have talked to Joe about it. I'm sure that he can. I know that Clarence can because I have heard him say so. I don't think I've heard Neely say so. She may have. But just in round figures, during the 2 years that I was a delegate, it cost me about $1,200 a year to be delegate. That's not counting business that I lost because I took time away from my business. My income tax was less in 1966 and 67 than it was before or since. So it's there. Now, one thing I want to bring up and explain, I have several people, including Ray C., ask me about this. And I hope I can make it clear. That is deduction of contributions to Alcoholics Anonymous on your income tax. Now, there is no such thing as Alcoholics Anonymous. And the government does not recognize it officially and legally. I have put down on my income tax for several years now a certain amount for contributions for Alcoholics Anonymous. And it has not been questioned by whoever examines my income tax report. I have been called in on my income tax report twice since I have been in AA. And on neither occasion did they question my contributions to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't believe they will question it unless you put down too much. Now, I said there was nothing to, that there's no such thing as Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, there is something to make this thing legal, and they'll accept it. AA World Services Incorporated is registered with our revenue service. If you make out a check to AA World Services Incorporated and send it to New York, you're perfectly within your legal right to deduct it from your income tax. And there'll be no question about it. The next proposition on deducting contributions from income taxes. You can give to an AA group, such as, speaking of my group, Decatur AA group. You can give it to, which incidentally gets back to the importance of selecting a home group. I can give to Decatur AA group in a check, and it is deductible, and or get a receipt from the secretary of the Decatur AA group, and it is acceptable. I'm speaking of this where it is questionable. It's not legal. And or, a last one. Don't you tell John Mooney and Jim Pelton, some of them I said this. If you've got a letter from a doctor saying that due to your health and well-being and welfare and so forth that you must attend AA meetings, it is acceptable. I hope that explanation is understood. I see an accountant back there. I saw an accountant back there kind of shake his head a little bit on that receipt. He may have had a little experience with it.
Still has to be registered with
the
Revenue Service in Atlanta.
That's true. That's true. I'm sorry. Glad you brought that up, sir.
Another thing, Virgin, your travel expense is deductible as medical expense and not as donation.
Right. Right. That's with the doctor. Right. It's deducted under medical expenses when you get this letter from the doctor. Now, I don't know who is to handle it. Grady may know more about this than I do, but there is a possibility, like Clarence mentioned, that if we register our group or we register our Georgia State AA Assembly with him, it's possible. Lillian tells me I didn't know it. She tells me that the Georgia State AA Assembly is registered.
It's registered as Georgia AA Service.
She says it's registered as Georgia AA Service Center. I remember now, Assemblyman. Georgia AA Service Assembly. I remember now when Lillian was talking about it, and they insisted that that word service be put in there. So any contributions to the Georgia State Assembly is legally deductible. Now, we're about to close this up. Lillian asked it, please, that all of us, as we go out the door, to please leave our badges on the table. It saves her a lot of trouble to make out some new ones for September. Next, I have an announcement. Sunday, June 8th at 3 p.m. at the Garden Hills Community Center. That's the Scout Hut off Ronson Road, northeast in Atlanta, which is where the Buckhead group meets. Bill C., our public information committeeman, will have his first meeting on public information in Atlanta. At Sunday, June 8th at 3 p.m. at the Buckhead group Scout Hut meeting. He has just asked that all GSRs and committee members, if possible, please attend. Are there any other announcements right quick?
I would like to say for those of you that didn't meet me at 8 o'clock this morning, if you're visiting in Macon,
I would like for you to come and see the old Georgia AA service office. It's located at 648 Hurd Avenue. The telephone is listed in the directory under Georgia. It's Georgia AA service office. This is your office, and you can see what's being done. There will be permanent records there, and then when I move on, there will be for somebody else to keep. You will have more or less a history of your AA in Georgia. The records are yours to see at any time.
Yes, sir.
Saturday evening, May the 24th, at the Episcopal Church. That is open for the public information. And Russell S. will be speaking.
When is this, the
24th?
24th,
that's Saturday.
Well, it's time for another religious silent collection, and we'll all go home. Take your financial reports and other reports with you that you receive. We do not care for them to be left in this room for the general public to get hold of. And if you don't take them with you, why, some of us are going to have to clean them up. I know some of you may think we have talked about money too much at this meeting, but I was just looking at the book over here. We talk about what wonderful AA we have in Georgia. There are 12 states in the southeastern region. You look at it. It's in your box 459, which is delivered to you as GSRs and commitments. And we in the state of Georgia per capita contributions are 10th in 12 states. That's bad. I'm happy to have all of you here, and we're going to look for you back in September. There was close. Beg your pardon. Hotel key 708 laying on the table. Whoever belongs to it. May we all close this meeting, please, by praying together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, my friend.